Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Raccoon City Radio. I am Alex O'Neill, your host for this evening, and joining me, as always, my Colombian steward, my lover in law, my good friend and yours, Andrew Taylor.
Yeah, what's up?
Hi, Andrew.
What's going on? How's is this like a Kingdom Hearts 3 spoiler cast?
This is our official Kingdom Hearts 3 recap podcast. Yeah.
Ready? Strap yourselves in for a six-hour podcast. Here we go. Let's go. Yeah.
I've crawled out of my kingdom hole to come here to talk to you
finally,
about Resident Evil 2.
Finally get this recorded, and I keep having to push it back, but I don't tell people why.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I didn't want to be like, it's Alex. He's playing Kingdom Hearts.
It's important to me. The worst part is that, like, me not continuing to play Resident Evil 2 is now preventing you from continuing to play Resident Evil 2.
It's whatever.
And I feel bad.
I keep saying to myself, I could just start 7. I could just start 7.
You could just start 7.
Because everyone's like, it's really honestly the same, except, you know, like, the point of view
first
or
person.
Whatever. I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. But it's scary.
It is scary. I don't know. It's there's like a opening block of 7 that is scary.
Yeah.
And then for the most part, the middle is pretty even. I would compare it to a lot of Resident Evil 2. I think Resident Evil 2 is a little scarier, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then at the end of Resident Evil 7, it gets spooky again.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've seen stuff. So I guess
you've read lore.
Yeah. I've read my fair share of lore, and I've watched my fair share of lore videos.
Yeah. We're here. Andrew, you and I are here. The people have waited. Last episode, we talked about the one-shot Resident Evil 2 demo, which we recorded like weeks ago, like 2.5 weeks ago at this point.
Yeah. Like maybe a week and a half, but yeah, two. Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, it feels like it's been a while. Yeah.
Well, you went to Florida, so.
Yeah, I went to Florida. Like, a lot has happened in that time since we last recorded. But Resident Evil 2 is out now.
Officially.
We are playing it.
Yep.
We're going to be playing through the Leon A campaign together and talking about each major section as we complete it today. We're going to be talking about the police station, through to the sewers, then we're going to be doing the Claire B playthrough, correct?
Yeah, I looked more into it. So basically what it is if you play Leon, you're getting a scenario, and then second run unlocks when you finish the first scenario. And then you have to play the other character, but it's B scenario.
Mm-hmm. And a little things are slightly different.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like you get a different location, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
You get the police station, but then like the one after that. So
the middle location is different. That's cool. I still know next to nothing about Resident Evil 2, save for what I've played now. And you are the lore expert. So I defer to you, Andrew.
Yeah.
So we have both played through the police station now. I think, like, I imagine most people listening to this have already finished the game.
Probably, yeah.
It seems like it. But if you're playing along with us, great. It's more fun for us. We're going to kind of get into the details of our playthroughs and kind of just talk it out. The highlights, if I may.
Yeah.
Specifically where I stopped, I assume this is around where you stopped, is you get chased by a gator.
Yes.
Blow up a pipe and blow up a gator's face, which is very good.
Yes.
And then there's a save point in the room after that, and that is where I stopped for listeners. That is where we are at. So before then, the police station. Andrew, now that you finally played Resident Evil 2, we've been texting about it for the last week, or since Friday, I guess. It hasn't even been a week since the game came out.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Sold 3 million already.
Really?
3 million copies, yeah.
That's like Monster Hunter numbers.
That was like
Capcom's like rolling right now.
2 days ago when I checked that, or like yesterday, I can't remember.
That's cool. I guess we're getting that Resident Evil 3 remake.
I'll take it.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I don't know if I'll take it. I'm very stressed out.
We talked about it before, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it. Andrew, now that you've been waiting for this game forever, we played the demo. We had texted before the game came out about the demo, like after we had recorded, and I told you, I can't wait to be able to walk around the police station and not have the time pressure.
Yeah.
Just be able to kind of explore and be free, and not feel like shackled to any kind of limit.
Yeah.
You were definitely in agreement. How do you feel now that you've played Resident Evil 2?
So it's funny because, like I said last episode, not a horror fan, like almost at all whatsoever. And I honestly kind of attribute that to me having older brothers and at a younger age, because I was so much younger than them, that they would just scare the shit out of me. Like, my brother would make me watch like Lawnmower Man or like Child's Play with like Chucky and shit like that. And so I'm like 5 and I'm scared shitless. So I just grew up with this sense of being afraid of scary things. So it's like, it is what it is. But I was really pumped to play this game because there's something about Resident Evil that just kind of speaks to me. And I can't really put my finger on it. Don't really know what it is. I think more so like I'm into zombies. Zombies are cool. I wouldn't say zombies are scary per se, because it's just really like this bumbling flesh of, you know, piece of meat or whatever.
In 2019, I don't think zombies can be that scary.
Yeah, but when you're put into a situation where you're controlling a character that has to go up against zombies, yeah, it's actually pretty scary.
It's pretty tough. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say my impressions of the first portion of the game is that it's some of the most stressed out I've been, but it's also so polished. It looks great. It plays great. I'll try to be grammatically correct.
I'll allow it. You're fine.
And I have never played a game like this before, ever. And I've wanted to like save this statement, but like so far from what I've played, I honestly think it might be like one of my favorite games, like top 10 games of all time. Because
yeah, I was gonna pull up some incriminating text messages where you said this.
Like,
thing.
I know I said that where I was like, I know it might just be the hype, but I think it might be. And it's so weird for me to say that because, once again, not a big horror fan. But yeah, it's really hard to put into words. For sure, it's the Metroidvania aspect of it, which I love Metroidvania. So this game does a really freaking good job at that.
Me too. And I think like that was like a feeling, like a come to Jesus moment I kind of had with 7, is like how Metroid-y it is.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, I just got the snake key finally after like half the game, and now I can go back to these old areas and explore new parts of them. And like, these new parts are like layered and detailed and in ways that I wasn't anticipating. And now I'm kind of learning new things that are filling in the gaps. And it makes sense that they were in these old locations, right?
Like, yeah.
I think even in just the police station, like, we get so much of that. It's really cool. Like, I personally, I'm very impressed. I think like I don't know if like I am just not as into it as you are, but I don't know if it's resonating with me quite as much, but I'm loving it. I'll say that much. Like, I like it a lot. I've seen a little bit more kind of like some technical issues that we talked about in text message. There's just like one specific scene where a helicopter explodes.
Oh yeah.
And there's like a lot of fire around and the frame rate gets a little choppy, but like outside of that, it's been really great. It's been super smooth, looks great, feels great. Like, that's the biggest thing. Like, it just feels really good. As far as like a modern third person shooter, this is like just a very good one of them, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't even know if I'd really label it as a shooter. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have a gun, but honestly, after a while, it almost feels useless. I mean, I'm not trying to say I don't think you could not play this game without a gun. It really is a tool, and there's different ways that you can use it to evade the zombies and or other things that are chasing you. And
the when to shoot and when not to shoot is like a great internal struggle that is like constantly happening.
Yeah. And you learn pretty quickly though, because I mean, I'm not trying to say there's tons and tons of zombies, but like there are more than enough for you to like figure out what you need to do, like how to handle them. But yeah, I mean, I'd say in terms of like technical issues, I actually have seen one where say like a zombie is like 15 feet away from you, it actually kind of looks like a little choppy.
Yeah, it moves at half frames for like draw distance purposes.
Yeah.
Which, don't watch the Digital Foundry breakdown of this.
I watched it. I was like eh, whatever.
I like the reflection stuff, like where the reflections are weirdly like not aliased.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I did not notice until I watched the Digital Foundry thing. I was like, oh, fuck.
But see, like, for me, the overall, the game looks great. Those are really little things, and nothing has thrown me out of the experience at all whatsoever.
It's really cool to see, like, the weird specific concessions that they made to, like, let it run at such a high frame rate.
Yeah.
And the fact that it just plays so smooth, it really does make all the difference.
Yeah, for sure.
It just, it feels great to play. It is a great playing video game.
Yeah. Like, I was sitting on the couch just playing it, and I haven't sat down on the couch and, like, played a video game in so long. You know, besides, like, Smash, maybe. But,
Because you play your PC, for point of reference. Yeah, you're not just like, a weirdo.
I really, honestly, haven't been excited for any other game for, like, a really long time. And, like, I'm one of those people that would honestly rather play... not a first person shooter, like a story game. I love just being on my own, like figuring out shit and that kind of thing. And it's just been a while for me, you know, like God of War was last year, Spider-Man, you know, I beat both of those. Red Dead. I love Red Dead, but I'm like halfway through that game and I'm like, it's so dense. I just need to maybe shelve it for, you know, like 6 months or something and then come back eventually. But yeah, no, this game is something where I'm like, I want to play this, even if it scares the shit out of me. So
hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. So let's talk about Resident Evil 2.
Yeah.
The opening scene as Leon, I like that Resident Evil 2 starts like a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
We got a guy eating a fat cheeseburger in a truck. Totally
bald,
totally separate from this whole story, but he's gonna come back in a nice little important way. And he's just eating the grossest looking cheeseburger.
Yeah, that was a thick boy. That was a thick cheeseburger.
And like, the thing is, like that first shot, I'm like, what am I looking at? I thought it was like rotten food, and then he picks it up because it's just like sitting on his dashboard. And he picks it up and starts eating it. I'm like, suddenly this looks delicious.
Yeah, bacon.
But yeah, he's listened to radio story of somebody that got attacked, and then he hits a woman with his big old truck.
Yeah.
He nails her, too.
Like, I was like, I just shook my head. I was like, there's no, she would be obliterated, but yeah. I'll take, I know
dust.
What's going to happen. I've seen a horror movie. Like,
yeah. I like how tropey this opening
is. That opening is very tropey.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's just like, because I wasn't expecting it, right? Like, none of this footage has ever been out there for RE2, as far as I know.
Yeah, no.
It's this totally separate scene, and I like that it's like just a cold open to that. And then he gets out of the car, he's freaking out, he's like, what do I do? What do I do? Great acting, great facial animation, just great. Just a great way to start off the game. And then the zombie like gets up in the background in the headlights, and then it cuts to black.
Yeah.
It's a great, just a great opening scene.
Yeah, it's really good.
And then we get the gas station scene. So I had not played the original Resident Evil 2. I know you haven't necessarily either, Andrew.
Maybe a minute of it, because I tried to play with the tank controls. I was like, I can't do this.
But that original Resident Evil 2 opens in a diner, right?
When I played it, like the whole opening sequence is obviously way different. It's like Leon driving into town, but like he doesn't stop at a gas station. He's just driving into Raccoon City.
Okay.
And then he notices like a body on the ground, and then he gets out and he sees, like all these zombies like coming towards him. He's like shooting them or whatever. And I think like Claire just like appears out of nowhere, and then he's like, come on, let's go. And then I mean I can go a little bit further into that, but the truck driver or the semi truck eventually comes into play there, even in the original.
Okay.
Too.
Okay.
But I didn't see any diner. No.
Yeah, I Michael Huber of Easy Allies talks about a diner scene a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know, can't speak to the accuracy of that, but so this is it felt like this whole opening was like brand new from the ground up. A couple things that I did notice, like, so we're going to the gas station and obviously we kind of stumble into our first zombie encounter. What's great is that zombie encounter, what, like, the room, the back room, the storage room where it happens is like the room that we see from a rat's perspective in the first trailer for Resident Evil.
Yeah. 2. I didn't remember that now, yeah.
Huh. Which is cool because, like, I was walking in, I'm like, this seems really familiar. And then I realized, like, the cop was the same and the zombie was the same and the way he kills the guy is the same.
Yeah.
With Leon kind of standing above him. It's a slightly different scene overall, but, like, it is that room from that
trailer.
Did
you notice, like, a tipped over shelf or anything like that?
I did.
Oh, you did? Okay.
And, like, the shelves were the same. I didn't notice the PS1, which was in the original trailer, but as far as I could tell, that I believe that was, like, the exact same scene, but from Leon's perspective instead of, like, that the rat's perspective in the trailer. Yeah.
And Leon, in the trailer, had, like, his RPD suit on.
Yeah,
he but was in the game, he has, like, street clothes on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is cool. This whole scene's, you know, is also very tropey. I think it works really well. It's cool, like, everything about Resident Evil 2, and I don't know if it's the same for you, that, like, makes it feel like a 90s game is awesome.
Yeah, it definitely... That was one thing I noticed, too, was that it feels like it's in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what else to say about that, but, like, yeah, you can definitely tell it's, like, in the 90s. Like, his clothes, he looks like he just came out of, like, an NSYNC video. And, like, his, I was like, this dude looks like Aaron Carter or, like, Nick Carter or whatever. Like, one of those, like, 90s.
One of the Carters.
Yeah, like, one of those 90s boy band, you know, whatever.
He looks like Chris Kirkpatrick. Yeah.
And he had, like, they're just, like, really baggy. Like, it just seemed, like, kind of baggy on Leon. I don't know mm-hmm. if you noticed that. To me, yeah, it was, like, his clothes are...
I mean,
really
like, the coat he's wearing. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
His hairstyle.
I loved it. Yeah. It's because, like, you know, we've seen, like, how many fucking attempts to revitalize the Alien franchise. And they all do, like, the, like, early 90s, late 80s big... CRT computer monitor with the green DOS text, like,
yeah.
And I fucking eat that shit up.
Same.
in those movies, but to see it in a video game for a thing that came out in the 90s, like, it's like, I feel like video games haven't had an equivalent yet, and Resident Evil 2 is that equivalent.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's really cool. We see the zombie gets attacked. Leon starts freaking out, pulls out his gun. You have to grab the key and get out of the storage room.
The key over by all the swimsuit model posters.
Yeah, right. Like the most stereotypical dude bro shit.
Yeah.
And then as we're leaving the gas station, shelves are falling over. More zombies are here. It's very cool. It's very effective.
It's scary.
Yeah. It's very scary. Especially like Leon kind of not knowing what happened or what's happening in Raccoon City. He's just been told he was supposed to be there a week ago. Was told to wait because of some kind of situation, but didn't know what it was. And now he's like, I got to go. I got to find out what's going on in there.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I would have just found a new job.
Well, I mean, I appreciate Leon because he's like, I don't know. I don't know that
he's
whole,
a golden boy.
I wish he's a. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
He's a good guy. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, I wish there was more, like, backstory. Like, I can't remember what I was watching, but someone was like, what was his job before this? Like, what the fuck? Like, he mm-hmm. just kind of comes out of nowhere, and I wish there was more backstory about, like, where Leon's from. Like, what was he doing before? You know, what was that whole conversation of, oh, you shouldn't come to Raccoon City? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And then what was his motivation for all of a sudden changing his mind and, like, getting in the car and going to Raccoon City, you know? That kind of thing. I like that kind of stuff, but I didn't see any of that in the lore videos that I watched. So
I like the idea that Leon is cop first day on the job, right? Like, I like that. It's very like John McClane.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's super diehard. Like Leon wears it well. I like the idea that he's just like a good dude. Maybe he's like fresh out of college. He's pretty young, wants to be a cop because he wants to help people, wants to do the right
thing. It definitely
thing.
Seems like that. Like he's fresh out of the academy or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like he just got this job. He didn't know what city he was going to go to, which I don't know how that works. But he's going to Raccoon City to be a police officer, a city that apparently he's just never been before. I also like in this intro we learned that Raccoon City is like a Midwest town. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I looked into a little bit more of that. Of course, obviously.
Do we know which state it takes?
Supposed to be Missouri.
Okay.
They were saying like either Springfield or St. Louis, which is like technically like what it's supposed to be based off of. And I thought, that's
really cool. Kind
of makes sense. Like I've been to both of those cities, and I guess that would make sense. Yeah.
You think of, like, all big stories like this, I feel like it's New York, D.C. or...
L.A.
Or, like, L.A., yeah. Exactly, Los Angeles. So, it's cool that it's, like, Midwest. And also, like, it being, like, Missouri or Springfield is, like, way more along... It makes way more sense that what happened in Resident Evil 7, like, because that's, like, the Bayou.
Yeah.
It's, like, implied to be, I think, like, Louisiana or also Missouri, so...
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That'd be so cool if it was, like, based off of Minneapolis, but... We don't have a police station like that. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually,
you don't
we
have
kind
a,
of do.
A museum that was converted into a
police
station.
Well, I mean, it's like a big, like downtown, it's like a big ass brick building. And I think it might have a clock tower at the top of it. But
and there might be a secret passage
possibly.
Behind the statue.
I'll Google it after this. And if it looks
like
I need
you to go on hand and investigate, actually.
Fuck no, dude. I'm not fast like Leon,
you just show up with a RPD police vest on. Like,
it's like a little bit too small
Leakins,
for me.
Ma'am.
Like my tummy is like hanging out below.
Your tummy's like poking out. Oh my god,
here
that'd
for
be
my
amazing.
First day.
I'm ready for our Raccoon City Radio fanfic film that we're about to make
with me with like bleached hair.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's awful. Yeah.
Leon meets Claire. They're like, I don't know what's going on, but you seem okay. And they steal a police car and drive into the city, where they're quickly separated. And we get to the police station. Like, I feel like we don't need to necessarily spend too
much
time.
We don't need to go story beat by story beat, but like
that opening
is actually pretty important because one, it tells you how to play the game. It establishes the tone. And like you learn pretty quickly that, okay, just they're not like your typical zombies where. Well, they are, but they aren't. Where in most zombie movies, if you shoot them in the head, like it's done. But in this game, it's like you shoot him in the head. Yeah, he's down on the ground, or he might stagger back a little bit, but like he's not.
You gotta
like,
blow that baby
not
up.
Not dead. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah.
It's cool, and it's like it's a modern. We kind of talked about it with the demo. It's a very modern way to take like. How shooting worked in like the tank control game and make it work in an actual third person shooter. I don't think it's bad. I understand some people is like, well, I shoot you in the head. Why do you not just die? Like these are meant to be like weapons.
Yeah. It's a like, bioweapon.
Yeah. You can contextualize it pretty easily, I think. And it makes sense for the tension and the kind of game that it is.
Yeah.
I'll say like, once you get that Magnum though,
saved it.
This head start popping.
I haven't used it.
You haven't used it? No. There's a situation quickly after the Magnum where you are opening a bunch of jail cells open and a bunch of zombies flood out. I was like, I'm just going to use this.
Oh, really? Did you just unload?
No, okay. No. I was very careful with my shots, but every headshot was just like a clean kill.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Felt good.
I'm
not going to fuck around with dogs.
I looked down the sights with it, and it takes like...
takes way longer.
Way longer
that's a different,
for that
different
reticle
angle
to like constrict.
On the reticle. Yeah. It's cool though. It's a very smart risk reward weapon in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we're in the police station. We're in essentially what we played in the demo and what we talked about there.
Except no time constraints.
No time constraints. Take a knee.
Yeah.
Andrew.
Oh.
Take it all in.
I made Mr. X take a bunch of knees, so
oh, I didn't waste my ammo on him. I was like, no, thank you. I like that. Take, get him down on one knee, like you, sir. You need to take. Yeah. I need to plant you real quick.
Well, there was a couple times there where, like, we can talk a little bit more about this a little bit further into the episode. But like, there's a couple times there where he's like directly on me, and I have to bring him. The best place to lose him, and this is a tip. The best place to lose him is in the main lobby. And to go up those stairs around the statue and kind of lead him around in a circle. And that's where I shoot him in the head. And then that's where he takes his knee. And I'm like, see ya. And then I just lose him that way. So
yeah, I would just like usually like lead him around the circle. I'm trying to figure out the best plan of attack of where I want to go and then just sprint for it and get a couple of rooms.
I was constantly cussing at him though. Like constantly.
Fuck!
Like, you bastard.
You piece of shit, yeah. Fucker.
I called him Mr. Foreskin Man once because his face looks wrinkly. Like foreskin.
Yeah, he's got a... I love how he looks, though.
Yeah, he's still creepy.
Yeah.
But yeah, we can get a little bit more into that a little bit further. But I like... yeah, where do we go from here?
Where do we go from here? I mean, so we do the demo stuff, so...
Yeah, you do the exact same stuff as the demo.
Going through the side section. Only thing is you don't get the weapons locker key.
Yeah. I was expecting it too for some reason.
Me too. I was like, nah, fuck. I knew things would be different, but I guess makes sense. I have to work a little harder for the shotgun.
Yeah.
I was just sad to not have it.
Yeah. I think you get it like an hour later or something like that. So it's not like,
it's not even that long. I don't
think
it's
not terribly far from that location.
As soon as I found it, I was like, I gotta make a,
yeah.
Cause basically at the hour and 20 minute mark, which was, I was past where I got in the demo. I kind of rendezvoused with Claire. The helicopter explosion thing happened.
Which scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, it was very jumpy. I was concerned about Marvin because I felt like he could, if I took too long, he could die before he was like supposed to, quote unquote. I mean, he dies either way, as I anticipated, but I was worried. So I was like kind of in a rush to just get through the statue. So that way I didn't like trigger some kind of bad ending type thing with Marvin. And, you got like that firewall thing down. This is like pretty much right after the demo, right? You, where the demo ends, like I went and saw Claire in the fire escape, the explosion happens. And you get separated. That's kind of like the last time we've seen Claire at this point. And you're kind of back to square one, and it's like, all right, what do I do next? I honestly don't even remember what the next. Oh yeah, it's to find the C4 detonator.
Yeah, you got to find the C4 detonator, and there's like some other different little things like that is offered up to you, you know, because the C4 detonator actually opens the doorway into where you can get one of the medallions, right, for the statue?
Yeah, the last medallion.
Yeah.
That's why you need the C4 detonator.
And then I think that's when you're introduced to the Lickers.
So you're introduced to the Lickers a little earlier when you go... Oh, man, it's such a great scene when you meet the Lickers.
That's going to shout at me.
Oh, yeah. you were talking about me peeing
my pants.
Because
I was cruising down that hallway pretty fast.
Oh yeah, I was not. Yeah. I was like, I got a bad, because you walk in that one hallway and the window is broken open.
Oh.
I was like, I got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah,
because we know that Licker was crawling on the wall outside the building. But yeah, you're looking for the detonator. I believe near the fire escape, that's where you get the dial, the turn wheel, to turn off the steam in the steam room. Which, again, I love how this game kind of shows you entrances and exits to places that you're going to come back to. It's like very much like you're passing through a hallway and you're like, oh, what's this room? And it's like you see the steam jetting out. You're like, cool, I know I have to come back here. Right?
Yeah.
Like it is like very good, obvious information, kind of like a Metroidvania of like, what's this yellow door? I don't have any weapon that can blow it up. Like, I know I got to come back here or stuff like that.
I totally shot the C4, but obviously nothing.
Me
happened,
too. Yeah.
So,
yeah. I don't know if that's how C4
works. I don't know how that's how it works either, but I tried it.
I would believe it because I know it's like a plastic explosive, so it works differently, but I don't know. In Metal Gear, if I shoot C4, it blows up. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, you get the crank after you see Claire, and then you go into the hallway that leads to the Star's office. And this, you walk into the hallway, it's fucking pitch black. Except for this window that is broken open and rain and curtains are flying around and wind is blowing
that's
in.
That's the one.
And you walk in and all you see from the shadows ahead of you is a tongue come down and grab a body and pull it up to the ceiling. And you're like, all right, well, fuck this hallway.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you go.
So the funny part about that was, okay, I wasn't expecting it. I knew they were obviously going to eventually be in the game because it crawled across the window earlier when I was up in like the clock tower area or whatever. And then when that happened, it jumps down and it's moving slowly. So like the thing with Lickers is that they can't see you, but they can hear you, just kind of like those class, like, I don't know what other, there's a bunch of movies that have like some sort of creature.
Like Clickers would be the closest kind of survival horror comparison.
Yeah.
They're very dangerous. They're not like auto kill like a clicker would be in Last of Us, but they're blind monsters.
Yeah. So they can't see you, but they can hear you. And so like it's crawling towards me really slowly. I'm like, when is he gonna go back on the wall? Like, so I can go underneath him, so I can get around him to get into the doorway that's on the left. Because there's only one door in that hallway, I think. Or there might be two.
There's two around the corner, but obviously that is less pressing than let me get in the stars hallway and all that.
Yeah. And so he just kept coming towards me, and I was like, I just have to move. And so I just kept like backing up, and I went around the corner. Like, so... And I didn't have any flashbangs because I kept them in my case because I knew that they were going to come. And I knew that they were going to come in handy with those guys. Mm-hmm. So I just shot him and I just ran. I hauled ass. Well, because I still had my shotgun. I was like, fuck this. Like, shot him in the face. I don't really know. Like, I think he hit me, but I was at full health anyway. So I went down to like caution or not caution, mm-hmm. but like the yellow status or whatever.
Caution is the yellow status.
Okay. So I got into the STARS office and I was like, well, that guy fucking sucks. I don't
Thank
know.
God he doesn't come in the STARS
office. I don't know. Yeah, that's another thing people need to be kind of aware of.
The STARS office is a safe place?
STARS office, I think, is a safe place. I don't think there's any zombies around that area.
Mr. X never came in there when I was getting the magnum.
Okay.
So... he was following me to it, but he didn't come.
Yeah, there's some offices that nothing can get into at all whatsoever. I'm sure some people have complaints about that, but honestly, like,
at some
there
point,
are some people that actually probably want to be, like, chased constantly.
Yeah. They just jerk it off the whole time. Just like, yes, chase me.
I love it.
I think they're... As video games go, like, you have to make a conceit of like safety mm-hmm. in a game like this at some point. What's cool is, like, and it's been true of previous Resident Evil games too, is like the stakes will raise as areas go on. I bet, like, once we get to Secret Lab, which I don't know if there's a Secret Lab in the game, but there's probably a Secret Lab in this game. Once we get there, I would imagine the number of safe places that you can stay is much, much shorter.
Mm.
So
yeah,
that list is. For me, the liquor hallway, I walk in, he's eating the guy on the ceiling, and I'm just, like, creeping, hugging the wall. And he's still doing it, luckily. I had enough time, and I just tucked myself right in.
Oh, I watched it. That was probably my mistake, is that I watched it, and I was like, okay, well, he's just going to walk towards me, and then he'll jump on the wall again. Nope.
Yeah, I tucked myself into the STARS office, and walked around there. What's cool? I really like the STARS office. It's cool that you go to Jill's desk and there's a little health pack there. You can get a first aid spray.
Now, that was my problem with that area, was there were no like name tags.
There's no name tags. It's just context clues. So I assume you have to kind of figure out who's who.
So you knew... How'd you know that was Jill's desk, though?
Because I feel like... There is something with Jill and a health, like carrying a health kit.
Yeah, because that is the only like health kit in the whole game, I think, or something like that.
I think there's one in another office that doesn't have anything in it, but it's like it's a first aid bag with a little plus on it for listeners' reference.
Okay.
There's the leather jacket, which I just assumed was Barry. There's obviously the sealed off office, which we know is Wesker. And that has the photo of the whole STARS squad on it.
Yeah.
Because he's the leader. But I don't know. That was just me kind of attempting to read context clues. I don't know for sure.
Like, there was the jacket and the guitar. Didn't know who. Mm-hmm. I was assuming that was Barry's.
Yeah, I assume that's Barry. But I don't know for sure.
I don't know. I get it, what they were trying to do. They're probably just kind of like, you figure out who's who. Like, I knew that was Wesker's office. But like, maybe have like name tags or something on the desk, or just to be really on the nose about it. You know, it's a police station, so like, I get it. But
I like that the regular police office has name tags, and obviously there's the fun little puzzle to unlock Leon's desk.
It took
with
me
them
a little while.
It took me a bit too, because I was like, do you want left to right or right to left?
Yeah.
but I like that the stars kind of like your SWAT squad, they don't have name tags. Like and their office is separate, and it's like they're too important. They're too good for that, right? Like, or everyone knows who they are, kind of. That is how I read it, kind of more as an ego thing.
Sure. I can see that.
But yeah, you got the PC, the big old fucking 90s PC tower in the corner, which has a code preventing you from getting into the weapons locker.
Yeah.
You can just see that Magnum right there.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
So one thing that this game does really, really well is it entices you, regardless of how scared you are, to find and unlock every single door.
Yes.
And it's very, very good at doing that. Because, like, I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, this thing has a dongle. I got to find the dongle. And I for some reason, I was thinking that I have to have the dongle, but then I have to have, like, a password or something for this thing to, like, get into this. You know, I'm just kind of overthinking. And then, you know, because you're finding articles of paper which have, like, hints of puzzles and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know. There's just something about this game that I was doing a lot of backtracking, and I was, you know, the nice thing about this game is that it tells you when a room is 100% clear.
Yeah,
so I knew,
so good.
I knew for sure that I wasn't missing anything. It doesn't hold your hand, which is really nice. And it might be frustrating for some people, but for me, I didn't find it frustrating at all. You know, it just forces you to check everything.
It's so cool because, like, it doing that is, like, it playing to its own roots of being a game that came out in 1998, when that just, like, the ideas behind tutorialization and everything of instructing the player were just so much more bare bones at that point, because people who played video games were more specifically into that, but also, like, people who made video games just had less experience kind of generalizing to a bigger audience.
Yeah.
And obviously the audience is way, way bigger now. So seeing, like, the game walks this line of being a remake of an old game and still trying to be that old game and being a modern game so well. And when, like, those philosophies kind of meet in the middle, like, in things like that, like the map and, like, when you do get the USB key on the badge, like, you can take it back and hold on to it for another thing that you'll need later on, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, then the room is complete. It's or like the large gear that you use at first, and then you have to take it back and then use it again up top. Like these little kind of more specific things that they give you enough clues for, but they don't tell you outright that you have to do. Like I really like that. And like, you know, telling you when an item has been used all the way. Like,
yeah.
You don't need this key anymore.
Which I, for some reason, still had.
I still keep
my reservations with, where I was like, I know I don't need this key anymore, but I have unlimited.
I just want to keep it just in case.
Yeah, I have unlimited inventory space.
In case there's like some big four lock chest that requires the clover heart and diamond key.
And they just never tell you about it. And they try to make you feel like, oh, I don't need it anymore. But then like say it's like a big portion of the game that you might miss or something. Yeah. So I just kept it and
I can put everything I want in my item box.
I mean, it's great. Like, and the game does so well of making you prioritize the items that you carry with you around the police department.
And how many slots you want to have open,
too,
for like what you got, what you know you're going to pick up.
And well, I know you know this, but like for listeners, like, you know that you're going to get more inventory slots because it kind of alludes to that a little bit. You know, especially when you find the first hip pouch. So then you're like, okay, well, how many hip pouches can I find? Are they all in the police station? That kind of thing. So like once you find that first hip pouch, it's more like, okay, well, I can take this one extra item with me just in case if this happens, or, you know, I might need this item or whatever. But I, you know, like my trick was to always carry a knife to have either a flash grenade or a grenade. I never took both of the same.
I have both now just because I have enough room for it.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Well, this is like, when I first like started out, it was like a knife, a grenade, and then like just one health.
One full heal.
Yeah.
Always at least one full heal.
Because I was basically every green plant and red plant I would find, I would never use them. I would just bring them back, combine them, and then put them in the chest.
Yeah, me too.
So I never just use, unless for some reason, I think I might have used one green plant like by itself.
I'll merge two green herbs every now and again if I know I'm going to be like, if I'm cautioned and I know I'm going to be walking into a dangerous situation, I'd like to go in at full health.
Yeah.
But that's it. I'll merge. The blue and red make your defense stronger thin.
Mm-hmm.
I've used a couple of times now for situations that I knew were going to get
a
little hectic. What sucked for me, speaking of inventory, like when I first got to the Star's office and there's like a bunch of stuff and there's the health kit, there's gunpowder. I think there's like a couple of notes, but there's the battery that you need to put in the detonator in Wesker's office, which is what you need to go there for. I didn't have enough room.
Oh, no.
I was full.
So what did you discard?
I didn't discard anything. Okay. I had to come back. And it was like, I got to deal with this liquor again.
Yeah.
And that was the point where I was like, I gotta weigh my pros and cons. Am I going to spend 5 shotgun shells on this liquor, or am I going to risk using all my healing items?
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up camping the door, opening the door, letting it run up, shooting it, letting the door close, open the door, letting it run up, shooting it, and I killed the liquor. Super glad I did, though, because I went back to that hallway to run away from Mr. X like 3 times, and if that liquor was still there, I would have just been pissed off.
Yeah. I've discarded, usually the thing that I was discarding the most was just like red herbs. Like I'd keep the green, discard the red. And I know that's kind of like risky, but it was like, there were a couple situations there where I was like, I just need to get rid of this. You would do the opposite. Okay.
Yeah. I would always hold on to the red herbs because I know there's going to be a plethora of green herbs, there's going to be a lot less red herbs in the whole game. So
yeah, I guess that makes sense.
But, you know, I get it either way. Like, it's situations like that where I'll, like, I'll combine these two green herbs. I don't want to. I only ever want to combine a green and a red herb, but I'll do it here just to get myself an inventory space.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
like your screen went dark.
Yeah, I was like, oh, shit.
I fucked the liquors. Let's see. I guess like the next major thing is getting the C4 detonator and then putting the battery and everything in it. You can also figure out like the book puzzle to get the red crystal.
Yes.
But that's like whatever.
I held on to that scepter for so fucking long. I didn't know what to do with it. I was like, I'm just going to put this in the box.
It was funny when I got the battery and I put it in the C4 detonator. I was like, I bet I can examine that scepter. And I just went and grabbed it, and there's a little push through it to get the crystal. I was like, cool, let me just do that, put this away. I don't know what I need to do with this red gem, but I'll just keep it in the box.
Yeah. I just was like, I had the same epiphany where I was like, I went back and I was like, I knew I should have examined this.
Yeah. Fucking Resident Evil got me again.
Yeah. Because like, that's another thing you need to be wary about is items that seem a little bit weird, like why am I picking this up, usually has some sort of secret on it.
Yeah.
But
and they're good about that. Or like items that are not totally weird, but it's just like in a box. It's like, here's a fucking supply part for this circuit board, but you just have to examine the box to open it.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, I mean, I feel like I didn't have to do that, but I guess it's kind of cool that I did that.
Yeah.
So the man going detonating the C4, that's all well and good, but boy howdy was I upset afterwards when it's like, all right, cool, here's 3 liquors.
Yeah, so you had 3 liquors in the one in the same room?
Not in the same room, but like that whole sequence, obviously, like you blow it up, you hear something start screaming. I'm like, this isn't good.
Yeah, well, the zombie that's up in the rafters drops.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought screamed. But I was like, that seems a little weird.
Yeah. Like, he's just a loud yell for one zombie.
A loud little boy.
Run up and grab all the items and the medallion as quickly as possible and turn around. And then there's just a fucking liquor walking around. I was like, well, this is going to be fun. And also, the library door is now sealed off.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I noticed that too. And I was like, shit.
Shit. Run past the liquor. That's when I dropped my first flashbang. I had dropped the flashbang earlier. I shoved it in somebody's mouth and shot it, and it blew up, which I didn't know you could do until it happened. And I was like, this game's all right. it's a good head explosion on that one.
And with the grenade.
You said you haven't done yet.
Still haven't done that yet, no.
You should try, man. It's liberating.
But I'm just like, it's a grenade. Like, it's basically, it's currency. It's like
your get-out-of-jail-free
card.
Like
gold, you know? So do I waste it on one guy just to test it, just to take a look at it? Yeah, probably.
I mean, yeah, you should, because it's fucking rad.
Yeah. Animation's cool.
You sprint through that first hallway where you saw the liquor come across the window, and now liquor's in there.
Yep.
For no good reason.
Remember that, yeah.
Run through there, and now you're back in that stairwell. There's liquor in there.
There's liquor in the stairwell?
Yeah, dude.
I don't know if I ran into one of those.
Well, there's one up. I guess there's the one. You come in upstairs, you go down the stairs, and then there's the one in that hallway between the West office.
On the first floor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the guy that I got a little too excited with, because I walked directly out the West office door, and there he was. Because I was going back into the armory to put one of the key things in there.
Yep.
And I completely forgot he was there.
This all happened to me as well. Yeah. I was like, oh no. And then I let the West office door close. Yeah. I'm just like standing there. I have had so many moments where I'm like standing in front of a door, just thinking about what's on the other end. I'm like, do I really want to do this right now?
But it's so nice because, once again, like I said, a lot of those rooms are safe areas. And you can kind of just creep out of them. And if you can't see something, you can almost definitely hear it. Mm-hmm. Which is nice, because it's like, okay, well, I know something's out there. I might not know exactly where it is, but something's definitely out there. I mean, I can go over some tips and tricks that I think people should use. Because I watched...
Can we have a quick segment here? Andrew Taylor's hot RE2 tips.
Let's do it. So shout out...
Andrew pro tip.
I'm not pro. Shout out to Boomstick Gaming. They put out this video, or he put out this video where it was like the nine top tricks to help you like survive Resident Evil 2. And a couple of them were actually technical. So he thinks like to help you with like seeing everything overall, you should turn your field of view like all the way up, which is cool. And then also I think there was, if you're playing on console, he said something about turning like the sensitivity up on like your controller or whatever. I can't remember exactly like those two. But I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to try those, just to see like what it's like. But he suggested that if you run up to a door and the door flings open, the door always flings open if you run up to the door. Without you having to press the interaction button, which is X, I think A for you.
Mm-hmm.
A for you? Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
So if you run up to the door, it'll fling open. And then I think he said if you press the interaction button again, it stays open. And so, like, whatever you need to, you know, try to figure out what's out there, it's going to obviously come and try to get you, but it can't get you if you're in a safe room. It's like it gives you an extra few seconds to, like, shoot it. Versus like what you were doing where you were popping out of the door.
Well, I would open the door and leave it open.
Okay.
But it would just close itself.
Okay.
Eventually.
Yeah. This, it was like, he showed it where it was like staying open for really, really long.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly the tip for that one. Another thing that he suggested was, so like when a zombie is coming at you and when it puts its arms up and it lunges at you, flick back on the controller stick because you're going to start running backwards. And then just flick up again and just run around him. Because there's like a little animation there where like they kind of stumble forward and they can't grab you.
Okay.
So it's just another way to kind of like save ammo if you don't want to deal with them. My personal tip is I was noticing that it was taking like 3 shots to shoot off a limb. But I don't know. Maybe it's just based on how... good my shots were landing.
That sounds right.
Okay.
I feel like that's right.
Because like what I was doing was I was just shooting off their legs. Because I felt like, and I think it is a waste, but if you're trying to shoot them to like kill them, like in the head, it's 100% a waste. because if the head's not off, like, more than likely, if you run back into it again, like, it's going to be back up.
Well, it depends on the situation, but I would always do, I double tap, man. I'm Zombieland all the way through this. So I'll put him down and I'll walk up and I'll shoot him in the head again.
But
and
I kept seeing zombies that were coming back even after doing that, where I was like,
I
this is a waste of my ammo.
I would get him down to where they wouldn't come back.
Okay.
So
but I was shooting their legs off, or if they're down on the ground already, I would just run up and take my knife out and cut a leg off.
I should be using the knife.
The knife is honestly something like everyone should be using a lot more. You know, for sure it's good to use if you're getting grabbed. By like a zombie, licker, dog, Mr. X. But
anybody.
Anything. But like I just felt like it was a good tip to, I felt like I was saving ammo by, if I know I need to come back here and this, like, say one or two zombies is in this hallway and say I have 25 bullets, if I use 6 bullets to shoot off a limb for both of them, you know, it kind of saves me the trouble in the long run, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It worked for me. I just felt like I was, I felt like I was using more ammo to, like, officially put them down.
Yeah, I guess I've gotten pretty lucky with it too. I've been making a lot of handgun ammo too.
Okay.
And I never ran out of ammo completely. I got real close in the kennel. Which we're about to get to. That was like the closest. I think I had like 7 handgun shots left at some point, and then I got more, luckily.
Yeah, I've been making a lot of shotgun ammo. Just because I feel like the shotgun is the weapon that will officially kill the fucker.
Yeah, it'll take it out most consistently, especially if you're in range. I just got like the extender of the shotgun barrel.
There's definitely the nice thing about the shotgun is it won't, if they're at a specific range, it's not going to kill them, but like if they're directly in front of you and you time it right, the head's going to the head's just done. Like, and there's always that cool animation where the zombie falls on you. Mm-hmm. And Leon's
like, shit.
Leon's like, what the fuck? And he like throws out, like, hell yeah.
Jesus fucking Christ. he's the best.
It's pretty great. But yeah, we can talk about the kennel now. Since we kind of talked, I mean, just if you're obviously, you're probably playing the game. The game, the whole top floor, and even the basement too, it is a Metroidvania. Like, through and through, it's perfect. Like I said, the best thing about this game is that it constantly entices you to keep going and to finding the next piece of the puzzle to get through another doorway or whatever. And it might not even be that much. You know what I mean? Like, you might only get like an additional hallway with like one extra door in it. And it doesn't feel like a lot, but for some reason it feels really good to like unlock that like little portion of the police station. But yeah, we can talk about the basement now, which is super spooky. I thought the basement was way scarier.
Oh, for sure. And it's like cool because obviously you get through the statue all the time. We fight the first boss fight, which is like whatever. Who you know all of his backstory and everything. I'm like, I don't know who the fuck.
Yeah. Because I was like, oh, did you fight Birkin? You know?
Yeah.
And you're like, who the fuck is that? I'm like, the
I was like,
thing
I don't know,
that,
dude. I fought a guy with a weird arm.
The dude that jumped down in front of you, which I texted you. I was like, how hard did you jump? And you're like, oh, I was just expecting it because
I was ready for it. I walked in. I was like, man, I haven't had a boss fight yet. This seems like a boss room.
Yeah. I Liza can attest. Like, I jumped. Like, I was like, fuck.
That's awesome. But yeah, I go in, do that boss fight, use a lot of my ammo. That was like, I like that too, because like you use a lot of your ammo there, you get the little safe room, and I had texted you like the first night I got through the statue that I played, so it was like right before that point. I should have just gone and fought the boss, which is good that I texted you after I got through the next part where I was like, am I about to just fucking fight this dumb crocodile?
Yeah.
And then just done, it's over. It's,
I told you to do it just because I was like, I know it doesn't last long.
Yeah, it's short. Yeah. And this boss fight's not long either. It's cool. Felt a lot like kind of like a Resident Evil 4 boss fight too, which was cool.
Kind of felt like 5 for me.
Yeah,
but
5 is a lot like 4.
I haven't beaten 4, so that's probably why.
And then like your resources are limited, and then you're kind of thrown into the kennel. We meet Ada. It's cool.
Yeah.
The kennel is cool because like it's obviously pitch black. You go through the jail cell first, which is what I did, and we kind of get that first peek of the tyrant when he reaches through the wall and fucking crushes that dude's head.
That the best part about that though was it felt like a Friday the 13th kill.
Oh yeah.
Where I was like, Jason. This is so like 80s, 90s. Because like his eyes kind of like popping out of his face and like his face is all crushed and stuff like that. And I was like, this is cool.
Oh. Yeah. It's a cool moment. Yeah. And it's a great introduction to the tyrant because like then if you know the game, you're like, he's just going to show up whenever. Yeah. Obviously, he's going to show up at a specific point. And I kind of thought he would. I wasn't sure what point he would show up, though. And then when he does, it's just like the liquor. It's just like, you're in this now. You got to deal with this now, huh?
Yeah.
But yeah, that kennel sucks.
That
dude.
Kennel does really suck. And so does like the coroner's office or whatever down in the basement, too.
The morgue, everything, all those rooms, and then the dogs get out. It's just a bad time.
Yeah. And like the worst part about that area is that you're walking through those hallways, and the dogs, at this point, the dogs aren't even out when I notice this. They have little vents for the dogs to run through. And I'm like, fuck you. Like, you.
Hey, fuck these dogs.
Yeah, you. No. Like, no. Like, I just kept shaking my head and I was so upset because
I didn't
just
notice
giving
the vents.
These fucking dogs, like, the way to kill me, you know?
I didn't notice the vents until the dogs were running through them. And I was like, this is fucked.
Yeah.
This is fucked up.
Yeah. Well, I noticed them pre-escape and I was not very happy about it because I knew that they were obviously going to escape. But the creepiest part. And the sound design in this game is some of the best I've ever heard. Coming from someone who went to school for like that sort of thing, I know when to appreciate really good sound design, and this game has really fucking good sound design.
When I started the game, the first hour or so, I played with headphones on. After the liquors, I was like, I can't do this anymore.
I haven't played with headphones on, but I...
It's as creepy as you want it to be.
Like when we start Claire's run through, I kind of want to stream it, and so I'm going to have to use headphones if I want to like talk to chat or something like that. But I don't know. I'm gonna be really or like seven or something like that. I'm going to be scared with that too. But what was I saying before? With the sound design. So like when you're in the garage and you haven't even seen the dogs yet, you can hear them howling and it is fucking terrifying because I hate dogs. Well, okay. I don't hate dogs, but like I hate wolves and like in my mind, this is just a fucking wolf. Like,
it's basically a wolf.
Yeah, I was like, fuck, it's like a Rottweiler. I'm like, all right.
I mean, they are Zambo dogs. I feel like there's no harm in hating Zambo dogs.
Oh, no, I had no remorse at all whatsoever when I was putting these fuckers down. But, like, it's just, it's the sound design because it was just like that very faint, like, howl. And I was like,
yep. You're like, fuck this, man. Fuck why this. Do you got to... Because obviously the first dog shows up and attacks you and Ada kills it and you don't really have a
Which
part in that.
Which is so funny because they both shoot it together, I think, in a total of three times. And it's just like this nonchalant conversation. It's just like...
Yeah, and it's also like the game very cleverly addressing like, yeah, we know these things don't go down easy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember... you get the diamond key... in the morgue and then you can go back through the diamond room. There's something you turn on the power. I guess it's a generator room. You turn on the power and then all the dogs get out and it's like, well,
but it's well lit though.
Yeah.
So like you can see them coming and
it's cool.
Yeah. But then
it doesn't make it any less tense too, which is cool.
Yeah.
The game plays with light.
Really there's the music that is indicating that they're out of the kennel. And that's when you're like, fuck this. And then that's when I whipped out my shotgun. And I'm not sure if you got an achievement or a trophy or whatever. But if you shoot them when they're jumping in the air, you get a trophy.
Oh, I didn't get that. I was always shooting them when they're on the ground.
Okay.
So.
Well, you're going to have to go back. Or when you play Claire, shoot one out of the air or something like that.
Well, there might be more dogs in this game. I hate to break
that. That is true. Fuck.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, my guy.
Yeah. Damn
we're like a third of the way through the game. I think we're going to see
just,
one more dog.
I was just, connecting these
glass
dogs
half,
together with this fucking police station.
Glass half full over here. I got it. we get up. I like here, too, that you get up behind the gate that dropped right at the beginning of the game, where you pulled the guy through that got ripped in half.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we're seeing this area, which is a fucking mess.
Yeah, that place is not doing well.
That's when we can go upstairs to like the balcony and the rooftop, and we drop down and have to deal with this flaming helicopter situation
so
to get back.
Here's the thing with that. It took me almost an hour to get to that point because I had gone through the kennel. I went through the back area, right? To get up where you can climb down and turn on the water or whatever to, you know, I missed that ladder completely. I went all the way back to the west side and I was like, what am I missing? Like, what is going on? You like, what's the next portion of the game? I went back down to the basement. And like, when you go back down to the basement, there's three dogs in the fucking parking garage now.
Yep.
So I was like, fuck this. And so it was just really kind of frustrating because I think it's 100% on me. It was nothing to do with the game. Like, it wasn't, I had to look at the map and I looked at the map probably for about 10 minutes. And then I realized, I don't think I climbed down because it gives you an icon. I went out there, but I didn't see it. It gives you an icon. It shows that there's a ladder. And I think what I did was I went out to that balcony and I just assumed that it was the same thing where you would go into that back area and you saw Claire. So I, you know, it just kind of looks similar in a way, but it's the Claire portion where you meet her in the back alleyway is way smaller. So I don't know what it was. I just missed it, but it took me like an hour to like find it. I think that's probably why I spent 6 hours in this police station.
I think I might have gone back and gone to the linen room, which is like the only other room that requires the diamond key. So I might have done that. Yeah. But yeah, I managed.
I felt real silly.
To be fair, when you climb down that ladder, it just breaks.
Yeah, and that's when I knew. I was like, this.
Yeah,
is,
somewhere Mr. X is about to show
this
up.
This is where this. I just kept saying, like, this is where this guy shows up. Like,
son of a bitch.
So then you get to the fire hydrant thing, or you change the current of the water or whatever,
the flow
of the water with the water pump. Close, or you know, put out the fire with a helicopter. And I because of footage that we've seen, I know that if I go up there, he's going to be up there.
See, I had not seen the scene where he lifts up the helicopter and he's there. So I didn't know where it was coming, but as soon as I saw it, I was like, this feels right.
Yeah, I was like, I knew. So I tried to prolong the inevitable as much as possible, but I think the only way for you to get back up there and to proceed forward with the game is to actually run into him, which is exactly what happens.
Yep, because they break that ladder and it's the only other way through. Yeah.
So give me your first impression of because you said you hadn't seen the footage where he lifts up the helicopter. So what is your first initial reaction?
Because, again, I was in the same boat where I was like, this son of a bitch about to show up. Like, where I expected it to be where... So you're going into that little shed, the boiler room, and there's like a key or whatever.
Oh, so you expect...
The whiteboard. I thought as soon as you grab that, that triggers him. But it didn't happen. Obviously, there's also like a box and a typewriter in there, so it
that's the safe space, yeah.
Yeah. But I grabbed it, and I was like, just waiting for the other shoe to drop. My thought was that he would show up behind you, and then you'd have to turn off the water and then run through. I didn't know how I was going to get past the helicopter. I didn't really think that far ahead. But then I walked in, I was like, all right, and then because I knew something was going to happen with the helicopter, I just felt it in my bones, and then you see him lift it up, and I was like, here we go. I'm trying to think what I did. I think I just ran right past him.
Really?
Like, I was like, bye! I do not want to deal with this.
No, dude, I hauled ass in the opposite direction.
I mean, that's how I feel every time I see him. I'm like, I got to go this way now, huh?
Yeah.
But this time, I was like, I just got to get through this.
Yeah.
And I just got to, I can't look back. So I ran for it.
I brought him back to the main lobby, and then that's when I went back again.
I went back to the main lobby, but he hadn't followed me yet, and then I spent a nice 30 minutes unsure if he could enter the main lobby or not.
Oh, no. He can.
He can. Yeah. Oh, he'll get all up in there.
Yeah. He's about the only thing that can get into the main lobby.
Yeah. Outside of the Marvin zombie.
Yeah. Which I killed.
Which I killed as well.
Rip.
Rip the dream. Rip the Marvin. And this is when this game became anxiety for me.
Yeah, dude. It's because I don't know. Do you know if... Okay, so you can hear him. And I'm not sure distance-wise how far you can hear
I feel
him.
Like if you hear him, he's always in some kind of adjacent room, whether it's above, below, or next to one of the room, one of the rooms next to you.
Okay. But like there's more than enough time to react to him. It's just...
Yeah,
it's,
you'll hear the music and you'll be like, all right, yeah, I got it.
It's just all about where he's at. But you know he's there, which is nice. So it's not like he's just all of a sudden there.
He's always moving at the same speed.
Yeah.
You know.
There was one part, though, where I did bust through a door and I didn't think about it and he was there.
Oh, and no.
And I was like, shit.
Oh, whoops.
See ya.
Yeah, I mean, and like they have like predetermined things where he'll show up at really inconvenient times, like
ooh,
when you go
yeah, there's a couple of
into
them.
The interrogation room. Or the observation room, you get the little chest. And I'm like, all right, I got myself trapped in this nice little linear hallway. I don't want to be here long enough for Mr. X to find me. Walk through and just breaks through the wall. It's like, no!
Scared the shit out of
that,
me.
Yeah, that made me jump.
Because that wall that he broke through is actually the press room.
It's the press
room,
yeah.
On the first floor. But I flashed him, not with my titties, but I flashed him with
damn.
A flash grenade. And that's when I just went around him.
Yeah,
I should have just gone through the press room because honestly I needed to go back to the main lobby anyways.
Yeah, I should have gone through the press room too, but I was panicking. I didn't know
I panicked.
What room he had just come out of.
I had absolutely
I just booked
panicked.
It.
I actually for a while there I thought it was a brand new area.
Yeah, me too.
And then I looked at the map and I noticed there's a big fucking gaping hole in the press room. That makes sense. But yeah, so I think at this point you have pretty much everything because at this point you have the key card to the garage?
Not quite yet. So
okay.
I guess you could in theory. I mean, you get back in the police station with the understanding that you in the generator room you found one part and the clock tower has the other part.
Yes.
That you need to fix this security panel to get into the prison cell that the reporter was in. It's Ben, I think, is the reporter.
Yeah.
Name.
They knew they got his face crushed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's got the press pass that'll let you get out of the garage. Seems weird that Leon wouldn't have access to any kind of anything that would let him get out of the police garage.
It's his first day.
First day. They'll give him an extended magazine for his fucking gun, but they won't give him any cards or card keys.
Extended magazine, stock, I think like compensator or whatever.
The compensator, yeah, this was the last thing.
Did you use the stock at all?
Yeah, I have the stock equipped.
Okay. I took it off just because I felt like if I hold on too long, I'm just going to be wasting my ammo.
Yeah, I've been thinking about taking it off. Maybe.
It looks so cool though.
It does look fucking
really
cool.
Fucking
it take,
cool.
It makes it take up more room, but I had some good success with it because they give it to you in the morgue and you can kind of experiment with it a little bit down there before everything goes to hell.
Yeah.
So I had some success with it. I don't. You can still like shoot once with the stock on. You don't have to shoot.
Yeah.
Times,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's the whole inventory thing. That's really what it comes down to. Is I could have the stock on, but it's going to take an extra space. So most of the time, I just kept it off.
Yeah, Mr. X, man. I like how he's done. Generally, it's just wild to me because I feel like I've heard so much about this game, or so much about how much people love this game, up until we were kind of getting into like pre-release stuff for this game. Like, I had no idea Tyrant or Mr. X was a part of it.
Really.
Absolutely no clue.
Okay.
Because I feel like if there was some kind of nemesis equivalent in 2, more people would have talked about it. Because obviously that's like all of 3. But I feel like nobody talked about Tyrant at all.
Yeah, I mean, because I've been so...
You're entrenched in the lore.
I'm entrenched in like all the latest news up to the release, and like all the videos, like PlayStation Underground did videos. Other people had like videos, and I watched the demo like two or three times. So like there was an, I just knew like he was in the game based on the original game as well.
Yeah. I mean, like I knew he was in the game, and I kind of knew like what he was, like a Nemesis equivalent. Cause like I had watched the first Claire gameplay that they put out, which had him in it.
Yeah. Okay. So you kind of knew. Yeah.
But it was just a thing of like, man, I go my whole life. I, you know, to be fair, I shouldn't be surprised. Like, I knew so little about Resident Evil 1 as well when I ended up watching a playthrough of that. But yeah, it's just like this huge portion of this game. And he's like going to be in the rest of the whole game from what I understand.
Well, well, in the original game, he was only in Claire's portion of the game.
Oh, okay. Maybe that makes more
sense. Leon, so. In the original, Leon didn't have anything like that at all whatsoever. So I think Leon's portion of the game in the original one is kind of a quote-unquote walk in the park. But with this game, like, I think both characters definitely get him. And I think she actually gets him earlier on than Leon does.
Yeah.
Which fucking sucks.
That's right. Yeah, it does suck. We're going to have to deal with that at some point.
Yeah, it sucks.
But yeah, it's just, it's crazy to me. But yeah, eventually, like, this is kind of like, all right, the whole police station's yours. You got Mr. X to deal with, but you got to find what you got to find. Let's get through it, get out of
there. And it's, I feel like with Mr. X, it's, from what I understand, that's kind of like the signaling of, like, the last act of the police station, because that's kind of just how I look at things, is, like, act one, act two, act three.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay.
It's a very good way to put it.
He's act three, and you just gotta finish up the whole police station, and you know you'll get out of here or whatever.
Now I have a question. I don't know for sure one way or the other. Did you get the heart key?
No, that's only in Claire's playthrough. So
okay.
Claire has an exclusive key, and Leon has, I think, the clubbed key.
Okay,
exclusive.
Cool.
So
that,
like,
makes sense now.
Because, like, it's going to give you more context. Like, Chief Irons is going to, you're going to, you know, I looked for hours. Well, not hours, but, like, I looked for a while where I was like, there has to be a way to get into this area. And I just got so frustrated. I wasn't mad at the game, but I was just more mad at myself just because I was like, I must have missed something. And I just Googled it. And Claire's key is exclusive. Only, or the heart key is exclusive only for Claire's playthrough. And I was like, okay, I guess that makes sense. Whatever.
Yeah,
I can move on from what I
said. Because I was like, I feel like that if I was going to find the heart key, I would have found it at this point. And then there was like one more thing. It's like, oh, I've got the thing to get into the waiting room safe. Like, maybe it's in there, blah, 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 going back and forth.
Yeah.
But I ended up like, okay, it's not here. I just got to move on. I don't want to deal with this fucking tyrant anymore. And then we go to the sewer with Ada.
Yeah. Well, let's not skim over the best part about when you go back down, when you go back down to the basement, and like that's where he kind of inconveniently pops up when all those zombies come out of the cell.
Yeah, that's the part that I just did. Yeah.
Okay.
You go back down to the basement,
and this is to get the key card, right?
This is to get the key card. You go through the prison, which I like, there's a switch there to open up the cells, but I didn't fuck with that. I don't know if it works or not. You fix the little power pad, you get the key card to leave the parking garage, and then all the cells open. And I was like, I knew this was gonna happen, but here comes the Magnum.
Yeah. So you went through that way.
So is there another way to do it?
There is another way. So
okay.
Wow, you really went through like the really difficult way, but like,
great,
that's fine, like, whatever. So that lever that opens up that door or whatever, and I know, I think you said that you assumed that opened up all the cells.
I thought it opened up all the jail cells.
Okay,
does it open that like one door off to the side?
It opens up the door to the left, and so basically what happens is, yeah, you open up all the cells, you go over there, you're like, I was like, nope, I'm not gonna deal with this, because there's about like 8 or 9 of them.
You know what you want to know? I went back and like guided them back, and then I went into Ben's cell, They were all in that room out there, and I tossed a grenade and they killed all of them.
Well, that works out.
I got an achievement for killing three enemies at once with one secondary weapon.
I haven't gotten that one yet.
Yeah, well, you got the dog one. It's fine.
Yeah. There you go. So you open up that once, because the power is technically back on.
Okay.
So you open up that gate, you turn the corner, and there's the tyrant.
For me, I walked through the hallway where zombies are coming in all sides, and then Mr. X just walks in, and he's behind all of these. I was like, what do you want?
Yeah. So I'm like, assuming that you could have done it either way, because you weren't going to miss anything if you went down to the left and opened that mm-hmm. gate. But he was going to be right there.
He was going to be waiting for me.
Right
okay.
in the corner. But he's walking towards you, so like the game put him there.
Yeah.
And I just toss a little flash, you know.
Take a knee.
Take a knee, boy. See ya. And then just went out. And then that's when they come out. Well, yeah. Because all the zombies that came out of the cells are then directly to my right, because I turn the corner. I take a right, and then I'm walking down the hallway, and that's where all the cells are. And then all the zombies like are kind of like right in front of me, and Mr. X is behind me. So I'm like, fuck. But I had my shotgun out. I just shot like a couple of them.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. I just, you know, any stragglers. Yeah. This is where I died the first time.
Oh, okay.
Like, I eventually, at first I just tried to power through the hallway, and then Mr. X punched me, zombie grabbed me, and I died.
Yeah. Man, you really were between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, a tyrant in a hard place.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's so
I made
funny.
It through. God damn it. Now I'm sad that I didn't go through the other door.
I mean, it would have probably scared the shit out of you, because it scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, but it would have also involved less zombies.
It would have, but it would have involved him being directly behind you, which you can hear him coming. So that's when I was like, all right, one zombie, two zombie, and then I just kind of juke the rest of them. Another tip that I kind of do is whenever you see a body laying in a hallway or kind of hunched over like against a wall, I'm like, that dude's going to come alive. At one point or another, he's going to come alive. And if I have an extra shotgun shell, it's going directly in his head. So I'd always kind of like clear them out before they ever become a threat, that kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I had not killed that guy, but I also assumed he would come alive.
Oh, no, I shot him directly. Like, you're going to come alive.
He did come alive. To make you feel better, Andrew, he came alive not any time before then, but in the moment where I'm running from Mr. X and a horde of zombies.
Yeah. So
he didn't get me.
Is he the one that killed you? Oh, no, he didn't kill you. Okay.
No. That the time I died was in the hallway where the six jail cells are on either side, and it's just like chaos.
So then when you finally get back to the parking garage, he busts through the wall, and a whole cinematic kind of starts. Ada's, for some reason, just been chilling in the SWAT van.
I mean,
starts up the van, pedals.
Seems right to me.
So I was reading comments on something, and someone was like, "God damn it! I wish I was that pedal." And I thought to myself, that is the most Alex, like
that Alex O'Neill. No, that's like a NATO.
Yeah,
Johnston,
that's what I was gonna
thought.
Say. I was like Alex / NATO. Like that. That's a line right there. I wish I was that pedal. And she just,
that's very funny.
She just slams that fucking thing right into his face. And then
blows it up.
You get out.
He's not dead yet, but like whatever.
Yeah. And like it's so obvious that he's not dead. And do you want to talk a little bit about Kendo's gun shop real quick? And then
Yeah. It was cool too, like this whole moment where you like walk out of the parking garage and you're just in the street again. It makes me think of like a sequel to Resident Evil 2, a modern sequel that is like Resident Evil 2, but a whole city.
Yeah.
Like, imagine Days Gone, but like each area is like, it's a city instead of like Pacific Northwest. And it like is actually interesting.
Yeah.
Sorry, Days Gone. But like each area is its own little Metroidvania area. I think that would be really cool. Like, the idea of like a Resident Evil 3 that is like Leon going back to Raccoon City to find answers, like, but going through the whole city is like, that sounds awesome.
Well, you know, and that's, and like going back again, because we speculated, you know, kind of a whole new timeline thing is like the Jill's story. Jill is technically in Raccoon City at this point. So Resident Evil 3 happens before 2, during 2, and then after 2. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like this weird thing where Jill's around, but she's like unconscious or something like that. I can't.
Is Jill the protagonist of three?
She is the protagonist of three. And then like this other guy kind of helps her. It's not Chris though, because Chris is in Europe.
Is it Barry?
No, it's not Barry. I think it's like some umbrella agent, but he like turned tail or something like that.
Betray the cause.
Yeah, but that would. I think I was watching the Kind of Funny review of Resident Evil 2. And I think Tim suggested, like, what if the rest of the game, or what if they reboot the whole series from here and it just follows Chris, or not Chris, but Leon and Claire, like, just the rest of the series.
Yeah.
Would you be okay with that, or?
I would say, like, there would totally be room to bring Jill and Chris into it, but if it was just, like, the four of them, I think that would be the best.
Because it gets really crowded after a while.
Yeah, like after
like five.
Once five starts and we get Sheva's introduction, that's when it just starts to get crowded, I think.
Because well, like, Sheva's never seen again, but
yeah, exactly. I think she's mentioned in six, but like barely. But then like six is so weird because everyone has like a co-op character and they're all pretty much new.
Yeah.
And they all are mostly uninteresting. So like but you think about like one is so core Chris and Jill, and then two is so core Claire and Leon.
Mm-hmm.
Like the four of them kind of coming together, I think would be really rad.
That would be really rad. And just kind of like move on from there with that.
Especially like with Chris coming back in seven to some extent. Like there's room for, I only say that because I know you're a lore pro, so I'm sure you've already been spoiled on that.
Oh yeah, I knew that he came back.
So, and like he, in seven, I feel like Chris Redfield looks more like
modern
Resident Evil 1 Chris.
Oh,
Redfield.
Really? Okay.
He doesn't look like modern Chris Redfield.
Fucking ripped to shit. Just
his arms are thicker than your entire
this
body.
This man makes love.
This man Fox.
we just went on a really big tangent there. We didn't even get to Kendo's gunshot, but
yeah, we get to the city. We're walking through the streets. The big remnants of
very
a sinkhole
cool.
that's
very
mentioned.
Cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. Like I want to know so much more about Raccoon City, and they like gingerly sprinkle things about
they
it.
Do.
Like
yeah.
It being a Midwest town, it kind of being in the middle of nowhere. It's a city, so it's big, and it's maybe like one of the bigger populous centers in the state. But like, it's still not. It's still kind of like a no-name town in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I feel. Which is great. It's perfect for Umbrella, right? Like, and
there's like mountains surrounding it.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of equated it to Denver.
Yeah, it's kind of like Denver.
I've not, but
I like that comparison. It's kind of like it's important, but it's isolated enough that it just kind of minds its own business. It makes the whole raccoon thing more believable, like with all the details Umbrella thing more believable with all the details they've sprinkled in this game.
Yeah. But yeah, then you finally get to the gun shop, and that's when you find the first upgrade for the shotgun.
For your shotgun.
Find some extra ammo, and then you run into Kendo, the gun shop owner, which is like Kendo, such a weird name. Because it's just like this old white dude. Well, he's not old, but like this middle-aged.
He's
like,
for sure a white dude.
White dude. And in the original game, I think he just gets eaten by a bunch of zombies. But like they dialed up the feels this point. And
that's crazy to think like this scene is totally different.
Yeah.
Because it feels like really crucial.
It's really crucial, and it's also super emotional. But I was thinking of the whole trope thing where it was kind of like, okay, so his daughter... Spoilers, I guess. I mean, we're spoiling everything, but like his daughter got bit.
Yeah.
I think she got bit. Like, cause like one of her eyes is like dead or whatever, and her other eye is kind of like moving around. And they're talking
and they're
about
bleeding blood.
Yeah, yeah. And they're talking about, oh, like mommy went to sleep or whatever.
Could have been bit by the mother.
Yeah. Could have been That's bit by bet. The mother, and now she's going to turn into a zombie. And he's like hugging her. And I'm just thinking to myself, the classic thing of this father that doesn't want to kill his child, which is 100%, you know, I get it. I thought she was gonna bite him, you know, and then Leon or Ada are gonna have to put him down.
Yeah, but no They just leave, close the door behind them, and then you hear a gunshot in the distance.
Yeah, you just hear like a shotgun.
And you don't know what happened.
Yeah.
It's good that, like, they took this trope. It's a very tropey scene. It's done well, but it's very kind of contrived. And then they kind of, like, turn it on its head at the end.
Yeah. It's sad. It's cool, but yeah, it's really sad.
It's well done. Like, ultimately, it's well done. And it makes this game, it's another just thing of, like, here are zombie tropes that have happened since 1998, right? Yeah. Like, this is, like, this kind of being modernized in a lot of ways.
I like it a lot. Mm-hmm. And I don't know too. If you know this, but Kendo's actually one of the DLC characters. Because there is something There's something coming out called Ghost Stories. As Kendo. You get to play as the mayor's daughter. And then you get to play as... one of like the USS soldiers or something like that.
This is very cool. I didn't know there's actual DLC for this game.
And I think it might be free. I doubt it, but it might be free. Who knows? And I don't know how long their portions are going to be, but like, hey, if it's like half an hour, 45 minutes to play as characters who you didn't
see.
We're
in the city when it happened. Yeah. Like, that sounds really fucking cool. Yeah.
There's like screenshots of like each different character, and the mayor's daughter one looks way creepier because it looks like she's in a mansion. But then there's like these huge windows and there's like a big flash and you just see like one zombie.
Yikes.
So it looks really creepy and he's like walking towards her, obviously. And
sounds very Resident Evil 1.
Yeah. So I don't know when that's coming out, but at this point where we're at, we've entered the sewers.
It's about to get real.
Yeah, we can talk about what happens next at that point, next episode, but it's cool. I don't know.
I don't know what to expect now. Because like, everything I know about this game is the police station, even on Claire's end. Like, I've seen some shots of the lab, and so, like, now Ada's told us, like, Annette is, like, the person developing bioweapons for Umbrella, the viruses specifically, and we got to find her and stop her. I also, like, I didn't know Ada was FBI. I think that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. It's all really... It's everything I wish I could watch on like TV. Like if this was like a Netflix series, like I would totally binge this.
Yeah. But it's cool that
I'm playing
you get to play it. Yeah, like I don't know. It's very much like it's toting the line of being like a zombie horror story and like cop first day on the job big conspiracy story. Like it's walking the line. It's funny too cuz like that's what Resident Evil always has been.
Mm-hmm.
But like it just gets so off the rails in like 5, which we played, of like here is Africa that we're destroying, I guess. Is a test ground for bioweapons, and also like we're in this underground mine, and here are these weird flowers that gave us the G virus, right? Yeah. Like it's so over the top, it's so just ridiculous. But here it's like on the ground level, like from Leon's eyes up, it's still like. He's a cop, and it is a FBI agent. We don't work for the BSAA, some, like, specialist task force that was created to stop bioweapons. Like, we're just people that were, like, investigating something that's way bigger than us, and it is better because of that.
I always like stories like that where there's a possibility you might know more than the character that you're playing as, but the fact that the character kind of has no clue what's going on is always intriguing for me. And that's really what this game kind of comes down to is they didn't ask for this.
Mm-hmm.
This is just kind of like thrown onto them and they kind of have to just deal with it, you know? And there are some lines there where Leon's like, I want to figure out what's happening. It's like, okay, Leon, chill out.
Yeah. But like, it's the moment like where we see Kendo and his daughter and Leon's like, this is why I took this job.
Yeah, I like that. I did like that line. I think I don't know, but
yeah, where he's like, let me help you. Like, you know I'm just coming in. You get the feeling that Leon is kind of like a goody two shoes, but he's a good dude.
Yeah.
You know? He's a hero that I like to root for.
He's like, I don't know. I've seen shows where, you know, it's like a cop's first day on the job and they're just kind of really nervous and, I wouldn't say he's like a nervous type of person, but he's more.
He's exceptionally confident given the circumstances.
Yeah, he's just very. Well, yeah, but he's just very.
He's likable.
Yeah. He's just a nice dude.
Yeah.
But
he's, I'm glad that he is the hero of this story right now.
But then
I'm excited to play Claire.
But then in 4, he's just this action hero.
He's an action hero, right? Yeah. He's so goofy.
Yeah. When I was watching some 4 footage for some reason, I can't remember what I was watching last week, and the end of the game where he rescues Ashley, right? I think that's her name. And yeah, they're like on the jet ski or whatever. And then she's like, so Leon, I was wondering if you could, you know, after we get back, do you want to put in a little overtime? And Leon's like, no, that's okay. Like, just really, like, she wants to bang you, and you're just like, no, I'm good. Like, just
I'm a hero.
Yeah, just like, it's so funny. I don't know the exact verbiage, but I think you know the scene I'm talking about. I laughed so hard.
Yeah, it's just like
cringeworthy. Like,
Resident Evil 4 is like 2004, 2005, and like here we are 2019, like 15 years later. Like, yeah, this is this character kind of back to its roots. But to be fair, like OG Resident Evil 2, Leon was like that as well, I believe. So
yeah,
was kind of goofy. So
yeah,
where this
I don't
is
know.
He's more of like earnest and heartfelt, and it's working for me.
Yeah,
Resident Evil 2 is all right.
It is all right.
If you would like to play along with us, we're going to be playing through the sewers, right? I believe we'll figure out the kind of stopping point. Maybe Andrew, you can put it out on Twitter, and we'll people can hear that. If you're not following Andrew's at Papa Drew Bear on Twitter, where you can follow him and see all the cool stuff that he's doing. So maybe we can do some. Maybe I'll do a stream of Resident Evil at some point.
Yeah, and I would like. You know, if you're listening to the show, you have any questions, that'd be cool. Like, ask us about Resident Evil in general. I don't know. Like, we've both said that we have this weird history with the whole series. But, like, if there's anything that you want to ask us about regarding the game, seeing that we're playing it right now, you know, and you don't have the game yet, or you are having trouble with a portion of the game or something like that, I think that'd be cool to have people tweet at us or something.
Or if they have tips, maybe they want to throw it out.
Yeah, maybe next week I'll do some sort of hashtag where you can send in questions via Twitter or whatever. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. I am AlFighter27 on Twitter. Yeah. IrrationalPetters.com. Check it out. If you like Raccoon City Radio, we would love it if you rated us on iTunes or gave us a thumbs up. Obviously, we're not going to be around for that long, so I'm not going to harp on it too much, but it would help us. It would get us in the ears of many others. And if you're enjoying Resident Evil 2, well, great. We are too.
Yeah. It's a really good game.
It's a really good game. It's very scary.
Very scary. Definitely don't play it if, like, you're really, really scared of that kind of stuff. But I've pushed myself. And now I'm like, I think I can do 7. I still don't know if
I think you'll be fine. Like, honestly, there are moments of 7 that are intense.
Yeah.
But like if you're getting through this, you'll be fine with 7.
Yeah. I can do it.
Just the first 2 hours are tricky, and then you'd be fine.
I believe it. Yeah, I've seen some of that.
I would love to hear your thoughts on that game.
I would probably stream that game.
You should.
It's just the fact that
we could even do a thing where like maybe I hang out on Discord with you, and that way you
could do that
while you play it.
I just got to have headphones on, and that's really... My friend was like, you should play it in VR. I was like, fuck that noise.
VR is very... I couldn't get through it in VR.
Why the fuck would I play?
It's very intense. It's very intense.
Yeah.
It's awesome, but holy crap. thank you, everybody, for listening. Thanks to the amazing support we got for the show.
Yeah, the first episode was really received very well, so I'm glad that
all the good vibes, all the tweets, too.
I'm glad we were able to give you an extra long episode today.
Yeah, really cool. I mean, a lot to get through, kind of setting up how we feel about the game just in general, too.
And I will, just quick side note, really quick before we're done, I will link in the description of the episode the video that I watched from Boomstick Gaming. You should check that out. Like I said, it's like top 9 tips and tricks that he thinks helps you survive through just the whole game. And I, from what I've seen it, I was like, yeah, that definitely helps a lot, so give it a look.
Logan Wilkinson is reviewing the game for rationalpassions.com. He told me he finished Leon's campaign. He liked it quite a bit. He's working on Claire now.
Yeah.
So check that out when it when it comes out at some point in the next couple of weeks on IP. But that is all I have for all of you. For all you listeners out there, for Andrew, for myself, thank you for listening and stay strong in Raccoon City.
Bye.